Just Three Things, Jody Dean and Jocelyn White, once again from the Dallas Arboretum. I think we're hooked on this.
I think we are too, and why not? It's so beautiful.
Dallas Blooms is underway, and the crowds are flocking to the shores of White Rock Lake. And as we said the last time we did this, if you've never been to the Arboretum or White Rock, it's an undiscovered treasure. And I mean, it is a civic treasure.
It really is a civic treasure. And for those of you who just love flowers and green things, it's perfect.
And they're not paying us to say this, although if they'd like to, that would be just fine. I was talking to Terry here at the Arboretum, and they've just built a sidewalk. The city just finished a sidewalk along the length of Garland Road in front of the Arboretum. And you'd think, okay, how important is that? Well, it's very important. It increased accessibility to the Arboretum like nothing they've done in a very long time, because it now connects all the gates. And if you're pushing a stroller and you have a baby, now you can do that without having to forge your way through the grass.
Or if you're parking in their new parking garage.
And you can walk from one to the other.
Exactly.
And it makes it so much easier to get around. So if you've not yet been to the Arboretum this spring, this is the time to do it.
Two words.
Sure.
Tulips. Daffodils.
As I took another sip of lemonade, you've got what, Mexican hot chocolate?
Mexican hot chocolate. It just goes to show, it's a windy, cool day to me. You drink lemonade any time of the year. I'm warming my hands on the Mexican hot chocolate.
First of all, make sure that you use your handy wipes and your
sanitizer.
Yeah.
Listen, I wish I had invested in hand sanitizer when Juliet, my goddaughter, Janine Turner's daughter, was born, because Janine was so anal about everybody. Do your hands, wipe your hands. She was afraid we were going to give that child something. And so if I had bought stock then, then now with the coronavirus.
There's been so much information put out, and some of it is completely unreliable. For instance, hand sanitizers and antibacterial soaps actually make our life worse, because they depress the body's natural immunities.
Exactly.
That said, if you're going to use a hand sanitizer, make sure it has an alcohol content of over 60%. The best thing anyone can do to prevent the spread of any communicable disease is to wash your stinking hands.
Isn't it amazing how many people don't?
They would rather stage a run on respirators and masks than do the simple act of washing their hands.
The CDC had an interesting thing. You mentioned masks. A, we don't need them right now.
No, we don't.
B, they don't help.
No.
And more importantly, C, there are people out there who need them who won't be able to get them because the rest of us who don't need them are hoarding
them. First responders are short on them right now. And if you're wondering how a mask works, it's actually for the benefit of the people on the other side of the mask. It's not so you can't catch something.
It's so you can't give it.
It's so you don't give it. And so don't hoard masks. I actually saw a story that said of the people surveyed, 38% of those polled say they will not buy a Corona beer under any circumstances. That's no joke. Because for whatever reason, they think that the Corona beer and the coronavirus are somehow associated, I guess.
Ignorance is such bliss,
and I'm thinking, who, to quote Tommy Lee Jones in No Country for Old Men, who are these people?
Who are these people?
And how do I avoid sitting next to them? Because whatever it is they have, I don't want to catch.
Exactly.
But can you imagine that? But then these are probably the same people who saw Garth Brooks wearing the number 20 Sanders jersey and thought he meant Bernie when he actually meant Barry, the Detroit Lion, because he was playing in Detroit.
What you gonna do?
I don't know. So if you are worried about...
Use your common sense.
Yes.
How about that?
Listen, if you feel bad, stay home. I'm one of the biggest people on the planet when it comes to you have to go to work, but that's within reason. If you feel bad, if you feel like you're coming down with something, especially if you have a fever, call in.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's really not hard. And as one of the doctors said the other day during the president's news conference about this, it's very simple. It's not very sexy. It's not very glamorous. But wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. Don't touch your eyes. Most people don't realize that you don't actually get infected or become infected by breathing as much as you do by touching something and then rubbing your eyes.
Because those membranes are not protected.
Not compared to your nasal passages and your bronchial tubes.
They're
and that sort of thing.
They're just out there for everyone to see.
So if you don't feel good, stay home. You have permission. We'll even write you a note.
Yeah, but Jody and I will write you an excuse.
Yes, it'll have our letterhead, three things on it. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of talk about that over the last few days, and not all of it's been accurate. So check your sources. For God's sakes, before you go posting something on social media, run it around a little bit to find out if what you're sharing is the truth, because nobody's minimizing what this could be.
Absolutely not. But you can also cause a panic when one is not needed. Yeah. Let's look at the stock market.
I understand why that happened, because supply lines and delivery routes. Let's assume that there was a widespread power outage. I mean, we know that from the storms last year, that they can last for a significant amount of time. You ought to have water and food for several days stored anyway. So let's assume now that maybe the delivery trucks aren't making their scheduled stops because of some sort of quarantine or something in an entirely different part of the country. Okay, so you might ought to have food for several days, just in case. It's not a bad idea under any circumstances. I don't want to sound like a prepper, but I kind of am. Do you remember the cobblestone ice event a couple of years ago?
Yes.
I guess it was more than a couple.
It was.
But the trucks couldn't get through.
Right.
And after a while, people started freaking out because they go to the grocery store and the shelves were empty. Last summer, last fall, when we had the tornado come through, power was out in some parts of the city for days.
It was out in my part of the city because I was literally two blocks from where the tornado cut its path. And it was so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Two blocks away, houses were gone.
Yeah.
And we weren't touched.
I've been to the grocery store on occasion when something like that's happened and they've been throwing out the frozen food. And boy, that's heartbreaking when that happens, but they've got no choice. And so all of a sudden,
they don't have power.
You go to the store and they haven't been able to keep milk or things like that. So yeah, when you can stock up, it's a good idea. And it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
But how about this? The Louvre in Paris is closed indefinitely.
The Cherry Blossom Festival in Japan.
I understand that. That's a little closer to home. But the Louvre, and they've put it indefinitely on it.
CBS has suspended filming The Great Race. That kind of makes sense because you don't need your people traveling all over the place. The flu is still the biggest health problem we face on an annual basis. It never seems to change very much.
Remember the avian flu? We were all terrified.
Swine flu. Spanish flu in 1918 killed.
And coronavirus is really, there are coronaviruses.
The reason it's called that is because if you look at the virus under a microscope, it looks like a crown.
Lysol wipes. Those wipes have been around for years.
Forever.
And it says, effective against human coronavirus.
This is the 19th variety that we're dealing with now.
There you go.
I never used to be that guy who would take the wipe and do the handle of the grocery cart, and now I do. You know, it's just a responsible thing to do. I think that's the biggest message, is just be responsible. Whatever you do, however you approach this, just be responsible
about it. And to bring us very tidily back to where we began, just wash your hands.
To tell you the truth, my biggest health concern right now is the grackle that I think is sitting above my left shoulder. And we're
here at the Arboretum, there are lots of grackles and lots of trees.
I love the sound behind this because you hear people going into, and by the way, the food here, we talked about this last time, is just fantastic.
It is.
I want some of that tortilla soup before we leave because it's the smell of that keeps wafting over here and it's making my mouth water so badly. Your birthday is
March 9th.
This is the month for your birthday.
Yeah, March
Happy
9th.
Birthday, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you very much. Every time my birthday rolls around, every time since I turned 40, I think about aging and I think about the best way to approach it. My mom is 93, by the way. You'd never know it to look at her, to talk to her, any of that. And she used to tell me, who is that old woman in the mirror? It's not me. Because she has this youthful attitude. And I really think that to grow old gracefully, you've got a couple of things you've got to do. First of all, you've got to have a good attitude.
Right, right.
Secondly, you've got to keep yourself in the best shape you possibly can physically. You can't just sit and be a couch potato.
No.
And then the other thing is, you've got to have interests. I have seen so many people die right after they retire because their work was their life and they have nothing else to do.
See, there's nothing that doesn't interest me.
Me too.
You're as old as you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you start thinking old, the body soon follows. And I talk to so many people who have that get off my lawn mentality.
Right.
And it drives me absolutely crazy. But you don't have to be 60 or 70 to feel that way. I know people in their 40s who are like that.
I know people in their 30s who go, how can you be so enthused about stuff? And I go, hey, I'm grateful to get up every day.
Yeah.
I love my life. I always take up something new. Dressage has been my thing in the last couple of years.
Did we talk about the Bluetooth in my truck?
No, sir.
Okay, we have to talk about the Bluetooth in my truck because I've had this truck for years and I love it because it's paid off. But you can Bluetooth your phone to the speaker system in the truck, and you can take the hands-free call and that sort of thing. And I never bothered to do it. And so one day, Maddie and I were driving, and we have a long drive when I go get her and take her home at the end of our time together. And so we like to occupy that time talking and listening to music.
Well, you're going to hate it when she turns 16 and has her own license and drives by herself.
She's going to be driving me around. She already
driving
has
been. Mr. Jody.
She's been driving now for almost 2 years.
Jody, be quiet.
Listen. I'm sorry. And she asked me, how come you're doing this, Dad? And I said, frankly, because one day you might have to take me to the emergency room.
So he really is serious about driving Mr. Jones.
I really am serious, because what if you are in an emergency? I saw the greatest bit of advice the other day. It was about a parent who refused to let his daughter drive by herself until she could successfully change a tire by herself. Well, guess what Maddie and I are going to be working on?
My daddy made me do it.
Yeah.
But, and I was really grateful when I broke down on a dirt road in my Triumph Spitfire one time. So
she
there you
finally
go.
Figured out how to Bluetooth her phone into the truck stereo. We have now started listening to the songs on her phone, not on her favorite radio station, which is a very limited amount of music, because they have to play the same thing over and over again to try to get that listening audience. These are the things she actually takes the time to download onto her phone. And so she'll play one of her songs, and I'll play one of my songs. And she'll play one of her songs, and I'll play one that I like. And that sort of thing, back and forth. And I'll go, oh, that sounds like, ooh, that reminds me of. And so we play this game for the duration of our drives. But what this has done, it has given me a window into her world that I would not otherwise have. You know, you used to be you could walk in and look at the album cover of your kids' records and go, okay, this is what they're listening to. You don't have that luxury anymore, because it's all digital. It's loaded on her phone. So I know about artists, much more about artists that I only barely hear on the radio, but now hear their other songs that she really likes. I've become an enormous fan of Louis Capaldi. I think that guy, that voice, that young man is amazing. Billie Eilish, we've already talked about her
Billie,
before.
Billie, I know. The Louis, I'm not familiar.
Look up Louis Capaldi. That guy, I mean, but not just him. I'll give you a great example of this. One of the songs that Maddie loves on her playlist on her phone is titled, I Wish My Friends Weren't Fake. Now, obviously, she's got great friends, but they're, you know, we're all human beings. We like to put up a facade. And so kids recognize that real quick, that sometimes people aren't always as they present themselves. But when you hear that, it tells me something about her. It tells me about the world she's dealing with, the concerns she has, her dreams, her hopes, her fears. And so the greatest thing that Maddie and I have done, maybe ever, really, because these are the songs that speak to her,
right?
And now I get to hear what they say.
I'm glad she's not dwelling on things like Baby Got Back or I Like Big Butts. I think this is really important.
One of the songs that she really loves is by Billie Eilish, and it's called Dream, and it's about suicide. And I don't think most parents understand how often that crosses the average child's mind, because the world just seems overwhelming.
The first time I really sat down and thought about death, I was 21. And my 21-year-old cousin died in a motorcycle accident. And I really got to thinking about what that meant. And, you know, when I was 16, the drama of 16, you know, you think, well, I'll just kill myself.
I'm a little different. I started thinking about it at age 6.
Wow.
And the reason I did is because I was in the Harris Hospital ICU next to a gunshot victim.
Ooh.
This is back when they put the kids and the adults in the same intensive care unit.
Oh, my gosh.
And this young man was 25 years old. He'd been shot in the face, and he died over 3 nights, and I got to watch.
Jody,
so I grew up around a lot of death, and if you stop and think about what kids grow up around now, from video games to popular culture to entertainment to school shootings to da-da-da-da-da, they grow up steeped in it.
Yeah.
Our language reflects it. Oh, I'm going to kill you. Oh, man, that slayed me. Oh, man, that, you know, that sort of thing. So they're literally bathing in it every day, and I promise you, they think about it a lot.
You know, my nephew, who is high-functioning autistic, and Weston is the light of my life, and one thing we had to learn was to be very careful with our words around him, because he takes things very literally.
Yeah.
And one time I said to him, or I was talking to his mother, and I said, well, you know, when that happened, I just could have died. You know, and I was talking about being embarrassed. Well, he overheard, and he went, Aunt Jossie, you almost died? And I mean, he was so upset. And I thought maybe it would be good if we started looking at things.
Like what we say.
Yeah, and watch what we say, because we had to watch it around
all him. All kids take what we say literally.
Yeah.
If you look at graphs talking about our current opiate crisis. Mm-hmm. The first television pharmaceutical ad for a drug did not air on television until 1983. So what does that say to me? That says, we've said, don't do drugs, don't do drugs, don't do drugs, except for these drugs, they're okay.
Uh-huh.
The ones that we advertise every other commercial on the nightly news or during primetime television, these are all right. You can take these drugs, but these are bad. Don't take these. You can take these. Well, if you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you don't think that way.
No.
You just think, drugs. Well, if there are some that are okay, why should these not be? We are what we eat, what we consume mentally, intellectually, spiritually.
Because we're eating that up, too.
And that is what we're filling our minds full of, that
right?
sort of thing. And you cannot tell me that that does not bear fruit. Look at the number of school shootings. The rise of when the first violent video games first started being produced. You know, there were some mass shootings prior to that, 1966, Charles Whitman, Austin, Texas, that sort of thing. And people argue with me about this all the time. I'm sorry, if the popular culture has no effect, why do advertisers spend millions for a Super Bowl ad?
No kidding.
Messaging has an effect. And so if all of our popular culture says kill, 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 guess what we're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just what's in your hand, it's what's in your head. So I've kind of started thinking about the words I use. I mean, you remember the line in the movie 12 Angry Men where Lee J. Cobb, if you remember the original version, stands up and shouts at Henry Fonda, I'll kill you, I'll kill you. And Fonda says, you don't really mean that, do you? But we say it all the time.
Yeah, we do.
And we don't think about how the little ears might hear that, like you learned to think with your nephew. Yeah, I think, you know, angry words will let them never from the mouth unbridled slip. You know,
mm-hmm.
remember those lines?
Mm-hmm.
And yet we do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
And I think, you know, you create a culture of violence, you probably shouldn't be surprised at the kind of fruit that you're going to harvest from that. So a big airplane just flew over.
I thought you were turning around to look to see if the bird had dropped a little love gift on your shoulder.
Maybe you disagreed with our course of discussion there. You know, speaking of the sound behind us, I reminded you, because we're here on kind of a windy day today, we're heading into severe storm season.
True.
This is a reminder to all broadcasters that your broadcast license is not a license to promote your app.
True.
The first thing you're there to do is warn people of severe weather. Then we can discuss your web platform and your social media updates and your streaming video. The first obligation is the stick.
Hello, weather people are there as a public service.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I was Dallas's first legitimate weather woman on nighttime television. It has always amazed me that people will think, well, I'll use it for this, or I'll use that platform for that. And truly, you are there to either let people know it's a beautiful day, or let them know we got to be careful today.
If you're the last television station to go live when there is a tornado rolling through North Dallas, you have probably screwed up.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you remember the June wind storm that caused so much damage?
Yes.
There was actually a local meteorologist television guy who said, oh, this isn't going to amount to much. And I thought, you know, is that really the right message? Now, nobody can call it perfectly. And yet, you know, you do want to say, there's a chance later on today. And then when it becomes evident that you need to break in, we all know that people are going to call because Judge Judy's been preempted.
But and I'm sorry, but we have a public responsibility.
You have a public obligation. It's part of your license. And by the way, if you're sitting at home wondering, well, this doesn't affect me, yeah, it does. Let's say that storm strikes 60 miles away on the other side of Dallas-Fort Worth.
True.
Everybody in the area's hail damage becomes my hail damage.
Yes, it does.
Because everybody's insurance premiums go up.
Are going to go up. Yes, they are.
So it does affect you. It
may not. Or if you just need your roof done, you're going to be behind a whole bunch of other people
now. Or if you have friends or loved ones on the other side of town. You know, and we always say this when severe weather season approaches, and flash flooding kills more people than any other weather event. So you're thinking, okay, this is no big deal, it doesn't affect me. Well, A, that's selfish. B, your television program isn't that important. It really isn't. I mean, I remember when we broke in for coverage of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, yeah.
And Channel 11 got flooded with phone calls because people couldn't watch As the World Turns or whatever it was.
Right.
I'm angry because my stories aren't on the air. there are bigger things than us. It again, back to No Country for Old Men, Barry Corbin's great line, it ain't all waiting on you.
It ain't all waiting on you.
But this time
this is true.
I agree.
That's why we like doing it here at
That's
the Arboretum.
That's right. I want to leave everyone with one thought, and I've shared it before, but since this is my birthday,
you get the
I get the last word,
you get
so
birthday
to speak.
Privileges. Yes, you
okay.
do.
This is my own personal mantra, and you're welcome to use it. Age is a number. Numbers are math. I don't do math.
I hope you have that in a plaque in your bathroom.
My friend Sharla in McKinney is going to do that for me.
It ought to be on your front door. It ought to be on your front door. Okay, so here we are. If we haven't told you already, and you couldn't tell because of all the wonderful noises behind us, we're at the Dallas Arboretum, where Dallas Blooms continues through the middle of April,
yes.
I want to say. So thank you. This has been Just Three Things.